Hello and welcome to The Worst Show on Earth, a podcast where my friends and I watch some of the crappiest TV shows in history in an effort to determine which is the absolute worst. I'm Matt Murphy, and with me today, as always, is Rachel Bieber.
Hello.
Hello. Also, Alex Humphrey.
Hi there.
And finally, Tachi, the human IMDb.
That's a moniker I can love.
And as you just heard in the intro, we've been to the kooky world of Sid and Marty Krofft's Lidsville, a children's entertainment program.
Those were air quotes. He was quoting, but you couldn't see it because this is a podcast.
It is not a visual thing.
I hope you can't see us. If you can, that's weird. Have that checked out.
Yeah, you might be hallucinating. Sort of like what we did. Uh-huh. Now, to give our audience an idea of the show in case they haven't seen it, let's have Tachi read the official Amazon page description of the product.
When Mark, Butch Patrick, visits a theme park's magic show, he discovers a magic hat that shakes him into a bizarre world known as Lidsville. Premiering in 1972, this psychedelic Sid and Marty Krofft creation yielded 17 magical episodes in its 2-year run on network television.
Oh my god, this wasn't even syndicated?
Network television.
Wow.
Television on a network.
That's what it was in the... That's just how it was.
72.
So, is psychedelic the right word for Lidsville?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, it is. It was written on psychedelics.
You think it was?
Did you watch it?
I did. I just thought it felt like a weird living cartoon.
Yep. Yeah. Weird living cartoon. That's absolutely what it is. And it's a perfectly fine show.
Oh, wow. Whoa there.
Wow.
Do I sense that you're annoyed that we've watched this?
I don't understand why we watched this perfectly fine show for the worst show on earth in competition as the worst show on earth.
So, Rachel, you are contesting that this show should be on our show.
Look, it has Butch Patrick, who was the son on the Munsters.
Yep, Eddie Munster.
And he's all grown up and in color. Very cool. We have a villain who is clearly a villain. And he has minions.
Mm-hmm.
All the characters are cartoonishly ridiculous.
And sometimes racist.
Well, the racism is of its time. Like, it's not, it's a, the, all of the puppetry is very,
rudimentary.
It's very proto Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Fair.
It's a lot of fun. We watched 2 episodes.
Yes.
And by the 2nd episode, I was really feeling that the Ice King from Adventure Time is really based on Hoodoo. So really, I feel like this is a really formative show that set the pace for children's programming and entertainment for years to come.
I will accept all those things.
I'm
going to counter with, it hasn't aged well.
No, a lot of it hasn't aged well. But is that what we mean by worst show on earth? Like,
I think it's worth discussing.
All right.
I think it's worth exploring this. And I think it's worth addressing.
How about those amazing special effects? Those were incredible special effects for the early 70s.
I'll give you that. I just want to start with the opening, which is the most annoying piece of music I've ever heard. Not because the tune itself is annoying, but because it just... Do they record this thing in one take? Like, like music and lyrics. Make it up off the top of their head. Boom. Done. One take. Don't try to write it into a real song or anything.
It's super Sid and Marty Krofft. And it really felt like if the Renaissance Fair had a budget to shoot a show. in the 70s.
But the theme song, it sort of keeps interrupting itself to start a new theme song.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm just confused and annoyed by it. Like, I just want the song. Listen, I tried, because I'll give it to you. This is a kid's show. And I have to recalibrate my brain for being a kid. What kid me would have thought while watching this is, are there cartoons on somewhere else I could be watching?
I don't know. If I had seen this as a child, I may have been entranced by just how weird it was.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not because it was good or entertaining, but I think this I may have parked my channel dial on just because it's so out there.
Yeah. So if I was a kid in 1972, I would have watched it because there were no choices. But if I was a kid when I was a kid, I just don't know. I had Inspector Gadgets. I had stuff like that. Ooh. Speaking of wonderful themes.
Yeah, that is a great theme. Woo-hoo.
I mean, if that's what I had to watch at the time as a kid, I would have watched it. But like, as I'm saying, it hasn't aged well.
It is full of comedic stereotypes that were very much in vogue for the previous 40 years of children's television and adult animation. It just used a bunch of tropes and made them hats.
Right, I get it.
And made them hats.
And they were hats instead of people.
That is the premise of the show. I just think it's a weak premise.
So let's talk about this. Let's talk about episode one, World in a Hat. And we do really have to start at the intro because
the intro is an episode in and of itself.
It is, in fact, because it gives us the entire setup for Mark, who is Eddie Munster.
Butch Patrick.
Butch. I could just remember Butch, so I thought it'd be more respectful to use a full name.
But that's it's his character's name in another television show.
Mark.
So Mark is weirdly enraptured by this magician's magic act. And like, the look on his face is so dumbfoundingly dumb. Like, he's looking at it as if it's like when you show a baby, like
anything.
When you show a baby anything, he had that sort of dumbness to him. And he decides that he's going to sneak backstage and see the magician's secrets. He finds the magician's hat, which suddenly grows into a giant hat, which he then falls into.
Like, climbs up on it first, then it shakes for no reason.
And then he falls and falls
through like this Alice in Wonderland horror pit.
But it's all weird
terrors.
Except they're all things that end up in Hoodoo's hat.
I didn't see anything wrong with any of that. It felt very familiar to me.
We're just summarizing at this point.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
We're just summarizing the episode.
I'm not saying that this
all of
is
that
bad.
Felt very much like the Dungeons & Dragons television series.
Yeah, which sucks.
Yeah, it was terrible, but I watched it every week because I was entranced by it.
I feel like just because it's entrancing to children does not imply it is of quality.
This was a really hard show to take notes on because it happened faster than I could think or write.
And nothing was really terrible.
I think you're really alone in this, Rachel.
That's all right.
And I understand why. Because when you turned to us and was like, this is fantastic. I'm so happy.
I was like, this is amazing.
I was like, oh, of course Rachel would love this.
Yeah, I love voiceover and I love doing voices and I could see how much fun all the actors were having doing this.
Oh, okay. I'm seeing this from your eyes now.
Yeah,
no, you are all alone.
Wait, Rachel, is this what you see whenever you go out into the world?
Do I look like a hat to you? Is that why you try to put me on your head all the time? Anyway,
so
summary.
So we get to the we get to the final actual theme song, which is what I'm going to use for the beginning of the podcast. It starts off with Lidsville is the kookiest. Lidsville is the kickiest, and then they're kicking in a line. Then it's
very clever. Very clever.
Then I don't know if it's the goopiest or the groupiest. Lidsville is the group.
It doesn't matter. You've heard it.
And
honestly, you owe it to yourselves to go listen to this theme song just to understand how bad it is.
Yeah, the intro, the whole intro is on YouTube. It's like a minute and a half.
Because that's every second of intro is a second of show. They don't have to shoot.
Precisely.
I gotta say, the shows we've watched on our podcast, we're 3 for 3 with weird theme songs.
That's true.
Well, if it's a weird show, it's got to have a weird theme song, right?
Yeah. Theme songs are a lost art in TV.
That's true.
We see this opening and we think, okay, so we're going to see that in episode one. No, the opening is episode one. We crash right into the action where Mark ends up in Lidsville and is immediately kidnapped by the Bad Hats.
The Bad Hats.
Which are what? Like a mobster hat?
There's like a mobster fedora named Mr. Big and he's the smallest dwarf.
Mm-hmm. They're all played by dwarf actors.
Yes, that's crucial to mention, is that every hat person is a little person wearing some sort of hat costume.
How many of those actors do you think performed in The Wizard of Oz?
Most.
The Hermine Midgets is, I believe, what the group went by in the credits.
Huh.
So we just have to look them up and see if if they had any crossover. But
because they would be really old by this point.
That's very true. Well, the oldest Munchkin only just passed, didn't he?
Yes.
There were some.
He was very old.
Yeah, there were some children in The Wizard of Oz, so maybe some of them were working on this one.
Yeah. So there's Mr. Big, the fedora.
Mm-hmm.
There's the executioner's hood.
Yeah, that one's weird.
He's got an axe.
Well, at least it's a hat.
Yeah.
It's true. I think that was one of the more creative.
Yeah.
Hat choices. Then there is the vampire hat, which is just a play on vampire bat.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh.
He's a purplish pink top hat with bat ears.
Yeah,
and
bat
wings.
Ear wings.
Yeah.
And then there's, I'm forgetting one more.
The pirate.
Oh, the pirate hat.
Who's got a hook for a nose.
Which is cute.
Kind of. The costuming is cute. It's all got this like cuteness to it.
It's and so then, funny.
Same scene, we meet the rabbit because this show does take place inside a magician's hat.
Wait, you guys, they immediately accuse him of being a spy.
Oh yes,
they
spy.
Don't even talk to him. They just immediately accuse him of being a spy.
For whom we never learn. We never learn. Because there's no...
He Hoodoo does say that he's a spy for the hats.
Oh, for the hats.
Of Lidsville.
But Lidsville doesn't seem to be his enemies. They just seem to be his helpless minions. Against him.
Okay, yeah. So Hoodoo the villain and the boss of these bad hats, people owe him, or hats owe him taxes?
Yeah.
Is that what's going on
here? He says that he's their rightful lord and master, and that therefore he can charge them taxes. But
and
he didn't get...
Anyway,
and he didn't get one hat cent, whatever that is.
I thought he said one hat sack.
Oh, that's even worse. What's a hat sack?
I think he said cent. That makes more sense.
That does make more sense. Anyway,
Hoodoo's house is dope.
Why? Everything in it has a mouth.
Everything is alive.
It's like Pee-wee's playhouse.
And talks to him inanely all the time.
Oh my god. The things, they just say... What's happened?
Mm-hmm.
Not even what's happening currently. What just happened? They're like, oh, it's Hoodoo. Hoodoo's here.
Hoodoo.
We're here for you, Hoodoo.
And there's a band. There's a little band.
And the hat band. It always goes like this.
So, Hoodoo is a human, by the way. He's a magician. He's not the magician, though. That's a different magician in the opening.
Though it is still played by the same man. The Match Games, Charles Nelson Reilly.
Yeah, I don't know much about Charles Nelson Reilly. I know that people do impressions of Charles Nelson Reilly.
Anyway, so he's like dressed like a classical music magician, and he's got the weirdest thing. He's got like weird facial hair, fine, but his eyes are also painted on. like, to be extra large and cartoonish.
Yeah.
And that is a weird costuming choice.
It's a live-action cartoon.
Yeah.
Right, but, like, when you make a live-action cartoon, you don't draw cartoon eyes on everyone.
Why That's... not? It's experimental. Sid and Marty Krofft were very experimental.
Yeah, I'm with Rachel on this one. All right. It's sort of...
Oh, okay.
It's part of the motif of a living cartoon.
So what he also accused Mark of being a spy, and then they got the evil eye.
They got the evil eye to show him the Hat Village because he didn't believe in hat people, even though four hat people had just kidnapped him. So they see he sees the eye. He's like, oh my gosh, it's a whole city of hats. And then that's when
Hoodoo calls his genie.
That's right,
his genie.
Weenie the Genie.
Weenie the Genie.
Who is a petite woman in brown face.
She has weird cartoonish makeup.
Yeah. Yes. But, like, she doesn't have, like, anime eyes drawn around her normal eyes.
No, but she has weird cheek circles and other...
Brown face.
Yeah, she's like Pikachu's great-great aunt.
She's the precursor to Jamba the Genie in Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Jambi the Genie.
Jambi.
But Jambi was...
Blue face.
Blue, which is not a human race.
No.
So his shading
was the same.
So they lock him in a box? No, the box is a staircase.
Yes. There's a trunk inside the giant hat that Hoodoo lives in, which goes to the basement for some reason.
Which I think is a great suggestion for a weird door to go down to the basement.
A trunk?
Yeah.
I mean, no, we all agree. I think Hoodoo's house is dope.
I would not want to live there.
We're all simpatico.
Even though he had a pet skull, I would not want to live there.
Oh, there was a pet skull.
And a talking crocodile wall-mounted head.
And a playing card, which was the Jack of Clubs, which was wearing crowns.
And had googly eyes.
And two heads, because you got in a playing card, you got the top head and the bottom head. So they have a magic ring...
Yeah, so Hoodoo has a magic ring, and within that ring is Weenie the Genie. He commands Weenie to send Mark to the basement. These are the stakes that we're in. So as Weenie does this, Mark's like, I'm real sad. And Weenie's like, oh, it's not that bad, kid. And then they become friends.
Yeah.
Because Mark tells Weenie of a world outside of Lidsville, and Weenie is so enraptured by this that she immediately loses her allegiance to Hoodoo, who was tormenting her and really, really raining down on her self-esteem.
So they, like, go to steal the ring, and it's at this point that you have the startling revelation that this show has a laugh track.
It really does sneak up on you.
I had heard the laugh track before.
It took me a good 6-7 minutes to pick up that it has a laugh track. And it's only occasional. Like, sometimes they laugh at things, and it might not be something you think is funny. I think the show just doesn't think its own, like, the show itself is very funny.
The first time I heard the laugh track was when we meet the rabbit, and the rabbit gets knocked over, and then pops up and goes... It's a good thing I've got a cotton tail.
Yeah, that was like the first scene.
Yeah.
It's so Scooby-Doo, the laugh track.
Yes.
Why was that part a joke?
True.
I don't know.
Because he's got a squishy butt tail.
Squishy butt tail?
Yes. It's very funny when you're three.
I'm going into the hat, you guys. They get the ring.
Oh,
because the magician, Hoodoo, took it off. For no reason, and put it on the table.
He had a reason. He had to open the drawers on his climate change cabinet.
Which is
the
awesome.
Weather Bureau.
The Weather Bureau. That's freaking amazing, you guys.
Bureau. Oh, man.
It was a bureau of weather in drawers.
All right.
That's amazing.
Okay. Can we talk about the hat band? Surely you can't think the hat band is good.
It's a weird interlude.
Their songs aren't really songy.
And Hoodoo just tells them to shut up all the time.
Well, when you say it like that, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So Hoodoo makes it snow.
Well, Raunchy Rabbit, and that's his name, Raunchy Rabbit. Raunchy Rabbit opens the snow drawer, and it just starts blizzarding inside of the hat.
Also hilarious.
It was a bet. Oh, they should have said tricks are for lids.
That would have been amazing. That slogan.
Yeah, probably.
This show predates all of us, I believe.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So this show's like a dinosaur. This show is for dinosaurs. That makes
it's
sense.
It's for dinosaurs. So, okay. The plan is get the... If Mark gets the ring, then Jeannie will then work for him, and then they can escape. And that's what they do. They get the ring, and then they... Is this when they meet the good hats?
Yeah, well, but at first...
First they have to...
She has to remember the secret word, which is help.
And
then they pop onto a not helpful place, which is holding onto a twig on a tree over the shampoo...
River.
The shampoo river. Hey, this will come back later in the episode.
But it is, and it is what you think it is, a foaming, bubbling... river of shampoo, the hair care product.
Because the entire land is hair themed or hat themed.
Yep, and it's a little gross.
It's I'm gonna funny. Say that
it's a little gross.
It's hilarious.
Part of me wants there to be a head lice plague.
Ooh,
but I know that they will never ever talk about
it. I don't know. There might be a lice infestation.
Yeah. Give it 15 more episodes.
So this is when we meet our heroes, the hat people of Lidsville.
There's a nurse hat.
There's an admiral hat, who's my favorite. I thought he was the cutest.
The colonel. The colonel?
Okay.
British colonel?
Everyone's favorite hat, go.
Colonel. Not the colonel, the admiral.
Rachel?
I kind of love how absolutely offensive and ridiculous the Indian hat is.
Wow.
They ask a question. Native American.
The Native American hat, yeah.
The American Indian. That's not my answer. I don't have a favorite hat.
You don't have a favorite hat?
I really can't think of it, because then I'd have to have a favorite something.
Mine is definitely the
Western hat.
No, the sewer Frenchman.
Oh yeah, sewer Frenchman is great. See, you love these characters.
I forgot about him.
French hat is a French beret that is also a manhole cover that is also a person.
Hat.
Yeah, well, the hats are personal.
Hats.
And I believe his name was Pierre Lesueur.
That's hilarious. This show is great, you guys. No, it's not. This show is so funny.
Pierre Lesueur.
Rachel, you become delirious. I see that you need more sleep.
Need more sleep, but
I did write down the part where you said, I love this. That was when the room changed.
Because you guys were all trying to be negative about things that weren't actually negative.
Except for the racism.
Well, the racism is a problem, but
let's
it was 1972.
There is a chef hat that has a Chinese Fu Manchu, and its face is painted yellow.
Not only that, it has the L and R mix-up problem.
Oh, yeah, and its accent is...
Ridsville!
Yep.
And then there's the Native American hat, which...
I did not know what that was at first.
Yeah, and... You all knew the moment when I realized, because I let out that, like, oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I actually noticed you were looking down the first time they showed him, and yeah, I was pleased. He said the Native American's first line was how.
And I can recognize that this is a product of its time, and at the time, these were not offensive stereotypes. Well, but again, this is not a show that's aged well.
Okay, let's be fair. They were offensive stereotypes, but stereotypes were viewed through a much different lens.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice the Western guy?
John Wayne.
The John Wayne hat.
Oh, and Slim Pickens.
There was one that talked like
this. Oh, yeah,
this.
The Slim Pickens one. There was also the British colonel. What is
Colonel
he?
Poom.
Colonel Poom.
He's a pith helmet.
The pith helmet. Yes, that is super ridiculous. They're all caricatures of ridiculousness, and their hats.
And their hats.
Yes.
All right. So they get there, and he explains that Hoodoo's after him.
Well, we forgot the propeller beanie.
Oh yeah, propeller beanie. Propeller is great.
Twisty? The,
something like that, or twirly.
Twirly.
And Twirly puts on his, turns the chopper, what are they called? Blades on his propeller, hovers over to them, they rescues him off screen, and then they all meet in the hat square, I guess.
They fly across the screen together.
They do.
They use a lot of green screen on this. It looks about like you'd expect from 70s.
Puppet shows.
Puppet show TV green screen.
Amazing.
Okay.
So.
I can understand charming, but save the word amazing for things in life that are amazing.
Hey, if it was the 70s, you don't remember 70s television.
Ah, but few people who were in the 70s remember much of anything.
Hell.
Anyway.
So, in Lidsville, I think it's very important to mention that even the blades of grass are wearing hats.
What?
Yeah, you didn't see that?
No, I didn't.
So that hats are both alive and an object you wear.
Yes, and things you live in. Remember, they all live in giant hats.
You're right, I hadn't thought of that. So it's like a world where everyone... Where, like, all blades of grass have tiny humans wrapped around them. And Alex, everyone lives in a giant human shaped like a robot
Alex,
house.
This is like our plan to have a guest house and everything inside is made in the shape of a house.
No, this is like our plan to have a guest house except everything in the shy is made of human flesh.
Rachel and Alex sometimes plan their future house, and I think the plans just changed after watching Lidsville.
I'm just trying to make the correct comparison here.
No. It's a house made of houses.
We are not houses. This is not a world of living houses.
I'm a house to all these bacteria that live in me.
Don't push it.
That's between you and your doctor.
So, I was wrong about my favorite hat. I have a tie. Because my other favorite hat shows up, and that is... Granny biker hat.
Oh yeah, Granny.
Mother wheel.
Yeah, mother wheels.
Because they call her for help, and they're like, she's like, "Get on, we'll get out of here." And then they drive away, and then we cut back to Hoodoo, who picks up the hotline, which is a red. It's a red phone that's like, it's on steaming hot coals.
It's a hot hat line.
Yeah, it's a hot hat line.
Hot hat line. Okay.
It's not even a joke. It's just
a really. It's a hat phone. That is really hot. The handle of his, it's really hot.
Yep. That's all there is. It's all surface level right there.
So funny.
So they call the bad hats who run out to get them. And the bad hats catch them. And then the genie uses some magic to make them get away.
I think there's a smoke.
Oh, it's a smoke bomb.
I think he makes
something.
A smoke bomb.
Okay. And so then they go back to town. Now, this is not... what they set out to do, and I don't know why they do this. They just go back to town after that. So Mark goes back to town, so they drive out, they get attacked, they come back, they achieve nothing.
And everyone's like, you did it.
Did what?
What'd they do?
And this is one of the things where I'm like, no, this is not a good show, because they don't achieve anything by going out, and you never understand why they did it, or came back in the first place.
Well, they were trying to escape.
And then they
failed in escaping.
But they didn't. They beat the bad guys, then they could have kept going.
But the road, there was a detour.
Yeah.
That's something you just follow a detour.
But they would have had to go back around where the bad guys were, the bad hats.
Was that the explanation?
I mean, I inferred that they couldn't go around because the bad hats were there and they needed to get back to safety. And they went back... to town, because that was safe.
Why doesn't Twirly just fly them there, then? Why don't the eagles just save the hobbits?
Fly, you fools.
So they get back, and the magician is like, I'll handle this. And he throws his hat, and it turns into a boss hovercraft.
Yes, it's one of the cooler things. I kind of want one.
And he goes on a bombing run.
Where he shoots his magic at Mark and the hat people.
And the hat people, like, fire back by, like, throwing rocks and shooting arrows, and one of them has a cannon. And that, like, sinks his ship. And they're like, we win. And then they say something funny and everyone laughs. And
is this... Oh, no. I was about to jump to the next episode. Bow and arrow. That's later.
That's right. This is when they say to Mark, like, well, you can stay here with us and we'll offer you all the help we can to help you get out.
I just want to point out... Yes. That we have better been able to follow the plot of this show than a single episode of Cop Rock.
We did? I am not arguing this is worse than Cop Rock. Don't get me wrong. Cop Rock's way worse than this.
Yeah. This is not the worst show on Earth.
I
was pretty baffled by it.
I was as well. But it didn't, but I, it does not match the depths of bad and boring that is Cop Rock.
Yeah, I could watch like 10 more episodes of this.
Okay, when you put it like that, I'm starting to reconsider Cop Rock. Because I will level with you. At one point through the second episode, I started to go, I kind of wish I was watching Cop Rock
right now. Don't believe you.
I don't believe you either.
I don't believe you.
I am dead serious. Because here's the thing. I can see what this show is. It's a kid's show.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to repeat the same rough plot outline every episode.
Because
the second episode is, I'm going to speed through this. They want to get him home. So the Piff Hat helmet takes them. With a map to a place where a ladder is supposed to be. They get jumped by the bad guys. They get chased through a forest of trees that try to lynch you with their hair.
It's the hair forest.
They get rescued by the genie. And then they come back. And they have to come back. Because the magician is attacking the town, this time in a giant inflatable magician suit.
Are we already in episode 2?
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to speed through episode 2 because I want to make the point that every episode, my expectation is going to be every episode is try to get him home, get attacked by hats,
yep.
Encounter difficulty, save town from magician attack.
Sounds like a perfectly reasonable children's show.
I would never have watched this show.
You say that.
I did watch Scooby-Doo, and that is the same thing over and over.
Oh, but I hated myself when I watched Scooby-Doo.
Oh my god, I love Scooby-Doo.
No, I hate it.
Oh, I love Scooby-Doo. Not a Scooby-Doo
kid. I always hated Scooby-Doo because I knew that the mystery was not logical.
I loved how surreal it was.
So as
maybe that's why I love Lidsville. It's totally surreal.
As I'm looking at my episode 2 notes, there's some notes in the beginning, there's some notes later, and then in the middle of my notes, in really, really big letters, I had to write down that my brain trailed off.
I see. My only note is, Hoodoo is like the Ice King from Adventure Time, because I had nothing else to say bad about it.
But I didn't have
nothing
much,
else noteworthy.
I didn't have much to say at all about episode that's 2.
Well, I mean,
I wrote down that the band sang the following song. I think I wrote the entire song down because it goes, hurry, 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 stop that, they're getting away.
That's pretty funny.
What?
Does, yeah.
No, it isn't.
Pretty, it's a non-song.
It's not even a song.
It's a non-song.
Okay.
It's more than ditty, but it's not
check
a song.
Check out the Demi Dozen for I better like, musical work.
I would like you to recognize that you are not the demographic for this show.
Sure.
And it's not necessarily that it's a bad show, that you're, but you're just not the viewer.
I am trying to grade on a curve that this is a kid's show, but kid's shows have given me songs.
Okay, but now kids' shows have given you songs. How much do you remember from Howdy Doody?
No, I never watched Howdy Doody.
Oh, there you go.
Here's the thing. I think it's all right to compare things in this regard. Was this the worst show in the 70s? No. Mm-hmm. Is it a shit kids' show now? Yes. It hasn't aged well. It's not good television anymore.
Okay. It's not good television anymore. But Cop Rock was never good television.
I would argue this was only ever dubious television.
No.
I think this
show. How many episodes were made?
2 seasons.
I see.
If I saw this as a kid, I would either be, like I said before, totally hypnotized, or I would choose to watch the McLaughlin group. Because, like,
oh my god, I watched some of that too as a kid.
Because you had to. Because there was literally nothing else you could conceive of doing aside from watching television. And you had to watch something. And everything else annoyed you. So you tried for the McLaughlin group in the off chance that it didn't bore your brain into mush.
I just realized I sometimes
watched fishing shows as a kid.
I disagree with all of you. Between this episode and the next time we watch something, I would like to see what other television programs for this age demographic, which I'm guessing is between the ages of 4 and 10, were available at the time. And I want to know what time slot this was in.
Ooh, yeah.
That's a lot of research. Good thing you're a librarian.
Yep, and we also have the television museum here in Los Angeles. It's in Beverly Hills.
And my computer comes with internet.
What?
For researching.
Internets?
There are many nets.
Is that how you catch things?
Ah, only if you put things into the net.
No.
Better joke than anything that was told in Lidsville. Oh. Right there.
Well.
There were a couple lines where we were like, that's good.
Hair in the hair forest.
The hair forest and what, the sideburn falls or something?
The sideburn meadow.
Sideburn meadow.
Oh, those are just two words put together.
Yeah, I know, but they're world building.
Okay.
The scalp of Lidsville.
So in episode two, they get lost in the hair forest for a little bit. They get out with some hairspray.
The hairspray. That was great.
Hairspray, because that's what they use a genie for. Not teleportation, but getting us some
She's
hairspray.
Not a very good genie.
She's not a very good genie. Okay. Hoodoo becomes a giant. This is kind of like in Power Rangers when the monster gets big at the end.
Except he has the creepy code name Big Daddy.
Yeah, he's Big Daddy. He says that he's the wizard's dad.
When he's actually just a giant robot.
Yep.
And
a blow-up robot.
Which we find out later after Mark bravely does something, which is anything.
He grabs
the bow and arrow and fires it. Because no one else apparently had thought of this. And
they're very scared hats.
That was enough to defeat the illusion. And we find Hoodoo crawls out of the wreckage of his robot blow-up doll and is in his underwears.
Yep, and that's hilarious.
Red full body underwear. Wait, why is that funny?
Because you're a kid and that's funny. Somebody's in their underwear.
Humiliation is hilarious.
No, it's the red underpants. That's another cartoon trope.
Yeah, the full body underwear, was that once a thing?
Yes.
Okay. No, I know it was, but I never see it in real life. I've never seen that in real life.
Oh, well, you're missing out and you need more weird friends.
Okay, where can I get some?
Online. Have you heard of the internet?
Exactly. What?
You can even get them with the drawers on the back. Where you can just unbutton it and so you can
this
go to
sounds
the bathroom
like
in the middle of the night.
This is sounding like pajamas.
They are pajamas. It's underwear.
Long underwear.
Long underwear. Yeah. That's what it is. It's long underwear.
So I know we're batting back and forth. Like, is it bad? Is it good? I'm going to say this. I don't think it belongs on this show.
No, I don't think it belongs on this show. I think it's too good of a show.
I don't think it's a good show. I don't agree with you there. I think it's a kid's show. I think it is a mediocre kid's show. I think it's of its time. We can certainly pick on the racism, which I expect we will only faux pas with more. But I think, fundamentally, the show is just not in the running.
No.
I think they are achieving what they set out to do with the show.
Definitely.
And I don't want to watch it because I hate it.
And I will probably watch more of it on my own, but I don't think it belongs on the worst show on earth. I don't think it's in the running.
I think that's... This is something that would entertain kids at the time. What would I watch more? I don't think I could tolerate watching anymore. It will be the exact same thing over and over and over and over and over again.
How relaxing. I'm just kidding.
I know.
Sorry.
One day I'll watch more Cop Rock over this.
As I said, I would rather watch Cop Rock over this.
I would not.
I would also watch Cop Rock over this.
I told you you'd come around.
Yeah.
Oh.
Back to Cop Rock it is.
No. No, this was not... No, I will not watch any more Cop Rock.
Well, it sounds like that's the end of this pod.
I think we've run out.
Yeah.
Rung out.
I think this show was fine. I don't think it was terrible.
And I don't think there's much to talk about.
No, there's not really anything to talk about it because it's a short kids show.
It just is.
It's definitely a show for kids.
Hats off to you, Lidsville.
Oh!
That made me want to hurt you. Anyway, if you like this podcast, please do share it with a friend and leave us a rating on your podcast platform of choice. It'll help us grow our audience and get things moving. And if you want more of us riffing, Alex, Tachi, and myself are on twitch.tv/scabbyrooster most Sundays as the Demi Dozen. It's an RPG show where we play a game called Scion, Second Edition. In a world where the gods are real and all myths are true, modern men and women weave new legends. Until next time, I'm Matt Murphy.
I'm Rachel Bieber.
I'm Alex Humphrey.
And I'm Tachi, and here we are capping things off.
Remember, folks, enjoy your media, no matter how crappy it is. I've seen people put on hats, and then they tie or pin them. In Lidsville, there's no need for that, because they live right in them. So if you bump into a bonnet, with ears and eyes and nose upon it.